Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. RainbowWeddingNetwork.com was launched in September 2000 and has been a trusted LGBT wedding resource for 16 years. RWN has produced an ongoing national tour of LGBT wedding expos with over 150 events in 30 different states since 2003. We also offer an extensive online directory with screened gay-friendly wedding and home-related businesses, a free honeymoon registry, customized wedding web pages for couples, LGBT-specific ceremony planning tips, parenting resources, and more. Check us out online at RainbowWeddingNetwork.com and also at SameLoveSameRights.com for further information or to make a donation to help keep this podcast going strong. Thank you.
Welcome to our podcast. We are here with the team from Rainbow Wedding Network, and it is the 1st of July, 2016. We're excited to be chatting with you today. My name is Mary Ann, one of the founders of RainbowWeddingNetwork.com. I also have Cindy with me.
Hello.
One of the other founders here. And Ira.
Hello, everyone.
And Lauren.
Hey, hey.
She's in our remote office helping us out today with the podcast. This is what, like our 6th, 7th, 8th podcast?
Something like that, yeah.
Somewhere in there. Yep. And we're excited to keep bringing these informational segments to you about planning LGBT weddings, about serving LGBT couples as a wedding professional, all kinds of tips and trends and helpful information. Rainbow Wedding Network was launched, 16 years ago now.
Wow.
And
wow.
We're excited to bring you some of our insights and experiences and share those with you. So thanks for listening in. We're going to talk today about some fun summer trends with regard to your wedding. Going to talk about food and beverage options. Very, very exciting segment. I've had a pre-listen, and it's definitely going to wet your whistle, that's for sure.
Oh, boy.
We also have apparel ideas for your summer weddings. Also going to talk about some 2016 wedding destinations that are really hot right now. And then we're also going to share some of our insights about the season of Pride. It is the 1st of July, so traditionally June is our Pride time here in the U.S., so we thought we would reflect on that today as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. To get us started with our first topic, I'm going to turn things over to Ira, and he's going to start us off talking about food. Ooh. For the summer season.
Something what for our a tummies. Better way to start than food, right, guys?
Yeah, that's right.
It's quite arguably probably one of the things that guests will remember most about your ceremony.
Either for better or for worse.
That's for right. better or for worse, they're going to remember the food. So I thought I might talk today about some lighter options, some not so light, for your summer reception.
Mm-hmm.
To get started, I just thought I'd go over, because we love Pinterest, some of the recipes and different menu options that I saw from out there in the web. The first, which I really loved, was sriracha lime orzo pasta salad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great way to set the mood for the season.
Pasta salad and summer go right together.
They do. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
And a good spicy flavor there as well to get you started for the summer. Another thing that seems pretty popular for the season are any kind of kebabs. One of my favorite was the lemon and garlic grilled shrimp kebabs.
Mm-hmm.
Great item for the summer. And my personal favorite from some of the things I ran across was the mini sandwich station, be that slider burgers, roast beef and brie mini sandwiches. You could do a do-it-yourself, build your own sandwich station. So
that
there are lots of
fun.
Great things there.
Yeah, that says summer, you know, without being messy. But
yeah,
also, it's
like
interactive, you know, for your outdoor summer. Mm-hmm. It's interactive, and you can eat it with your fingers, but it's still not messy. It's, like, contained.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat. And as far as kebabs go, that's true.
You could
that's
have
what I'm saying.
Of,
it's
yeah,
interactive.
A lot of different, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The kebabs are very popular. Of course, we have them served a lot as hors d'oeuvres at our LGBT wedding expos.
Mm-hmm.
The mini kebabs. So it's not too much to eat all at once, but, you know, sort of one of those hors d'oeuvres that passed around and work really well. So you could definitely go for those shrimp kebabs easily,
mm-hmm.
either as a dinner menu item or as an hors d'oeuvre item.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, too, because I think portion control with your summer ceremony, one, it gives guests a great option to sample different things you might have if you have, say, a banquet spread. And two, you can kind of control your portions a little bit more. You don't want to give guests a huge burger. That's why the sliders, mini sandwiches are perfect. Mm-hmm. Some other things I came across, some interesting flavors. I think Marianne and I have chatted about this a little already, is the watermelon and feta basil salad. I wasn't too sure about that, but Marianne's kind of sold me on it a little bit more.
I'm excited about it. I don't love basil that much. But to me, coupled with the watermelon and then the cheese, it just sounded like it would really hit home. So I thought,
I'm
you know,
still going
we
with the texture
with
thing.
That.
I'm not sure about that one. It just sounds like there's too many textures there that are kind of the same. But
you're right; it does have a lot of softness going on.
Yeah, yeah,
but if you've got crunch to the watermelon and it's not too soft, I think it would. I think it would work.
Most I saw
that
too
sounds
were mixed.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Most I saw too were mixed with greens. So you've got some other things going on. I don't know if that would be too much for Cindy there, but I think it helps. Helps the palate. It helps to add a little diversity.
I think, too, watermelon and certain herb combinations do well in what you're going to touch on later, infused mm-hmm. waters.
Mm-hmm.
I love the taste of watermelon with herbs. So I guess that's kind of why that salad sort of spoke
well,
to me.
Well, and it's definitely a nice, refreshing, you know, food option, right? It's mm-hmm. good for the palate. It's going to
cool you off a little bit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You want more refreshing options for your summer ceremony. Another great option was, is going back to the kebabs, was a Hawaiian chicken kebab. So you have the pineapple, you have some of the flavors there that are a little more summertime when you're thinking about it. Also, one of my favorites when I was running across a few different options on Pinterest was the grilled chili lime corn on the cob. I just
wow.
think that with a barbecue theme would be perfect.
I do too.
One couple had even thrown in little cups of mac and cheese, so you can have not
now
too much to be heavy. But it's good old, you know, good old, everybody loves those. And then one other option, which is, of course, I think really great, is having a Japanese menu item, sushi, sashimi, any of those lighter things. And, of course, you can have an alternative there for someone who doesn't necessarily like sushi, but having those options available, and that's perfect for summer.
I thought, too, the spring rolls and summer rolls would also go so well with that in terms of holding up so well for a summer wedding as a past hors d'oeuvre item.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, so that theme, I think, is so unique. You don't really think of sushi-type food at a wedding. But I just thought, you know, that is a kind of a neat option.
You know, I would go to any of these weddings and eat well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting. How many weddings have you gone to then had to go to, you know, a drive-thru when you're done? So I'm just saying, everything you threw out there, I would so be like, happy girl by the time the wedding was over.
It's perfect. Food is a social thing.
Right,
It's a social event, a social gathering. Food is a social thing. So I think it works perfectly. One last thing.
No rubber chicken at your weddings.
No rubber chicken.
No rubber chickens there.
Another great thing I want to geek on Cindy a little bit that I wanted to point out was something I saw one couple did for their wedding was a little station with some popsicles and the ice. You remember those little popsicles we all used to love as kids with the cherry and lime and all those fun flavors.
Yeah.
Just a nice,
and we still love as adults.
We still love as adults. Nice, refreshing little tidbits. So that was another great option too.
Just don't try to shove basil into the plastic.
No. Maybe you could infuse, make your own little, that might be
you
a
could little. Make your own popsicles.
You can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And hype up the flavors, watermelon and basil, or, you know, alcohol, as we've mentioned.
Yeah, I was going to say people
pull
do
it all
a
together.
Lot
yeah. Pull that theme together.
But I think little stations, like a popsicle station, are just so fun at a mm-hmm. summer wedding. And, you know, they're not meant to be any part of the menu per se. They're just a little interim thing
mm-hmm.
to help cool your guests down, just an icebreaker, as it, you know,
but
literally and figuratively. And, of course, fun for any of the kids you might have running around. It just fits so nicely into the summer wedding theme. So, fun. That's fun ideas.
Well, we'll roll right into the beverage section as well. And
keeping it cool.
Keeping it cool, man. And, you know, like you're talking about with your food, with beverages, you get to kind of bring your personality into it, right? You get to
absolutely.
Create that reception that reflects you and your new spouse.
Yeah, and build on your theme.
And build on your theme,
know,
absolutely.
Obviously, through your food and your beverages.
Yep, and, you know, so looking around on Pinterest, of course, our favorite site ever. They should be paying us for all the plugs we do. But, you know, and also I was just trying to think, just reflect on what kind of, you know, beverage bars are there? What's the normal type of beverage bars out there? So you can have just typical beer and wine if you want. That's it. Just a beer and wine bar.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have more of a full bar with the spirits.
Sure.
Or you can do something in between. And I like the in-between myself because you and I are not big drinkers of alcohol.
Not huge consumers of alcohol.
No, we're
true.
Not. So I was like, you know, especially if you're going to have youngsters
mm-hmm.
there or just, you know, you want to think ahead for everybody. So the whole, you know, alcohol, non-alcoholic combination is great. And plus there's so many great ideas now with different little bar kind of setups on what you can do. You know, you can have some really cool, like, craft beers that can be displayed in a certain way that's just neat, ties in with your theme if you're doing rustic or whatever.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Same way with wine.
Sure.
You know, you can have the ways that nowadays that you can display all of this. Non-alcoholic drinks, coffee bars are always fun as well. But some interesting things that I was thinking about is, like, for me in particular, I love the infused waters
mm-hmm.
With mm-hmm. seasonal fruits. So
it's so delicious and also so beautiful in so many ways to present.
Yes. And, you know, this is once again where you can go to your local farm and pick the seasonal berries. They mm-hmm. freeze well.
Right.
We go to a certain berry farm every year and you can just pluck them right from the blueberry, blackberry, red raspberry, wine berries.
Yeah.
Just throw those suckers right in the freezer and you're good to go. And then infuse them in water. Awesome. You know, one of the things that I came across, which I loved, was ice cubes that you put in fresh flowers.
Edible flowers?
It could be edible or not. If you're just doing flowers for a display.
Food.
If you're going to have the champagne in the beautiful, make it a centerpiece, you can freeze some ice cubes with any kind of flowers. Marianne's doing a face over
when
here.
When they melt, it has to be edible.
Well, if it's just a display item.
All right.
Think about
I'll
that.
Shush.
Yeah. Think about like a champagne, beautiful champagne bottle mm-hmm. That's being chilled with ice cubes that have, you know, the flowers
mm-hmm.
that you might have in the bouquet. You can freeze those, make that part of the centerpiece.
Just don't use them for the drink.
Don't use them for the drink.
Yeah, I'm just,
if you could
I'm adamant.
She's adamant. This is part of that.
We've got a disclaimer.
Yeah. We will put this in the bottom of the pocket. Do not eat the flowers. But
yes,
you can do flowers that you can eat.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In those ice cubes that you put in the infused water.
Yes.
Because that would be so pretty.
Yes,
to have
absolutely.
Berries or lavender we talked about.
Lavender brings in that flavor too, so you've got the flavor to work
yeah,
with.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely. And you were in as we were talking about before, you can buy different molds. You
right.
know, so this is a good do-it-yourself project if you wanted to.
For the freezing of the ice cubes. Because you could have the different shapes, like the heart shapes or the long skinny ones that go in the water bottle or stand up nice in the wine glass.
Exactly.
You know, whatever it is that you might be making.
So you can do fruit,
mm-hmm.
blueberries, strawberries, raspberries,
oranges,
any
pineapples.
Other apples. Pineapples, that's right.
Get crazy.
How about strawberry iced tea with, you know, fresh mint?
Oh, that's
cool.
And
you freeze the mint into the ice cubes.
Mm-hmm.
You can eat that. Don't worry, Marianne. We don't have a disclaimer there. But, or you can just have just a nice little sprig of mint mm-hmm. on the side of the glass, too. How about some frozen coconut limeade?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can get crazy with
awesome.
The alcoholic version, too.
Yes, that can be a good alcoholic version or non-alcoholic for the kids or for Uncle Howard, as we talked about before. yep. Another fun thing I did think about you, Marianne, and don't worry, you can eat this. Frozen coffee ice cubes.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was thinking about that for this summer. It's like, why haven't I froze some coffee and just pour some almond milk over it,
mm-hmm.
have a lovely little frozen coffee drink in the afternoon?
So refreshing and adult-like.
Adult,
you know?
Yeah, you feel very adult when you do that.
We're grown-ups here.
We can
put
a little stir stick
in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mason jar with a stir stick, and it's Pinterest-worthy.
Exactly, exactly. You can do lots of fun display for coffee bars. Or how about a root beer float station?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Now, for some fun alcoholic you know, options. You can always do that blueberry lavender hard lemonade.
Mm.
So you got lemonade with a twist.
We've got to try that.
We have to have a party.
We've got to have a party just to try that one. And I know Marianne's a little bit of a bourbon fan.
Sure.
As long as it doesn't
have... Why is my name being mentioned so much?
As long as it does not have non-edible flowers in there. How about a lavender vanilla bourbon cocktail?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And you could have the long ice cube with the lavender inside of it and the bourbon and then the vanilla and have the ice just slowly melt.
Yep. Lovely,
really
summer,
beautiful.
Especially if you're doing like a, you know, a wedding at night out in the mason jars. I'm thinking bourbon goes well in big mason jars, right?
So, if anybody's wondering after the podcast this afternoon, we'll all be drinking. We're going to try some
veranda.
Of these ideas.
Out on the veranda, we'll be having our bourbon cocktails. Yeah, we'll be trying all of these recipes out, and then we'll post our comments later. That'll be fun to watch. But, you know, I love to be... you know, just down to the basics, right? So, you know, I have to give those tips. Like,
okay.
So I was looking up, like, how much do you need to have available, you know, drink-wise to your, for your reception? How much booze do you need to buy? How much beer do you need to buy?
How many ice cubes do you need
to make?
How
much, you know, frozen fruits do you have to go put together? We won't throw your name out there, Marianne, about how much you can drink, but we won't do that. But... a good figure is roughly one drink every half hour per person.
That's
wow.
So odd. That seems like,
it seems
so much
like
to
a
me.
Lot.
But, you know, people do come to weddings and feel like it's open, free, whatever. Like, they freely do drink and eat. Thank you.
It is definitely something to think about if you are having the summer wedding and you are having the non-alcoholic drinks. If you have these fun drinks available, the strawberry lemonades or the, you know, the coffee drinks, that's just... it's one of those things where, you know, we don't make those every day at home. So they're kind of fun to drink.
Sure,
and,
sure.
So keep that in mind, especially if it's an outdoor wedding. Another great tip was if you are having a large group of people or a very long reception, is to use those smaller glasses, 6 to 8 ounces, because not so much Uncle Howard might have a little too much to drink, but we want to get up and dance, right? Or we want to have, you know, photos taken in that photo booth. And you might set your glass down and forget where you put it. Or you might not be sure that's your glass, and so you tend to get up and get a different glass. So
I think that's great, a great tip.
Good tip there.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was a handy tip to have. So whatever you're going to choose for your beverage, for your beverages, just enjoy it, because you really can bring in your own personality. You can bring in your style. And don't forget, presentation's everything. So jazz it up, people.
Speaking of presentation.
Just one other fun thing.
Okay.
If you really want to gay it up, you can make frozen ice cubes with Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could do, I was like, could you do food coloring? But you could, like, make rainbow ice cubes.
You could.
If you want to add a little gay part of your... I just thought for kids, too, that might be fun.
Sure.
Seeing that done with water stations, too, you'll have, like, the infused waters, but one's pineapple for the yellow, strawberry, and cherry for the
that
red.
That would be so fun. To have them in a row with the seven. So cool. Good idea.
Yeah. So you can gay it up as well, but don't forget, presentation is everything. And don't invite Marianne to your wedding. She'll be drinking way too much. Okay. That's all I
need. You'll need an extra large mason jar.
You know what? You were talking about wedding calculator. I mean, the calculator that you can go online and you can find the calculator on how much to calculate for, you know, how much bottles of wine and beer bottles versus kegs and all of that. So you can calculate exactly how much you need to purchase. That, and on one of the calculators, it talked about mason jars versus a 6 to 8 ounce jars, like how much more alcohol you need to buy for mason jars. So that was kind of cute.
Wow!
But those are available online. Absolutely, you can go online and you can find a beverage calculator, and you put in how many people you're going to have, how long is your reception, and it will figure. It can figure out pretty closely how much alcohol or spirits or just, you know, how much you need to have on hand. So that
hiring a service or a caterer or what have you, and they're in charge of your beverages, I think it's good to be savvy and have some of these questions in mind. For instance, you might ask what size glasses they're going to be offering,
because
they might have a thing where their sizes are larger than you think they should be, which might you think, because of the type of wedding you're having, You know, mm-hmm. if you're having the type of outdoor wedding where everybody is milling around and setting drinks down, you might say, you know, can we use a smaller glass? Because right. I want to keep my waist low.
Exactly.
And, you know, mm-hmm. that's something to really keep in mind as you are behind the scenes helping to plan these things. You may have a service handling the details, but as an educated couple, mm-hmm. you can ask those questions and actually help out your budget in the end.
Yes, and that could be a big waste.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that can eat up a lot of costs because, you know, spirits are not cheap. And, you know, by
well,
the bottle.
Well, neither is watermelon and basil when you come down to it.
Exactly.
You know, if you have 100 or 200 or 300 guests.
There was also something to remember, too, is like if you go and purchase, you know, X amount of wine or X amount of champagne or X amount of spirits, you can't return a lot of that stuff.
Sure.
And so there are states where the return, you cannot go and back to your ABC store and say, I want to return this. It's not, you can't do it. It's against the law. So that's another reason to be mindful about how much you purchase because, as we joked about earlier, in year two of your marriage, bourbon and gin come in handy. But
the alcohol reserves build up.
So you take out the frozen cake and the glass of bourbon.
Exactly, exactly. That's year two because year one is so lovely. But year two, in reality, bourbon and gin do come in handy. Bottles of wine or beer or whatever. So
you guys are going to have happy marriages. Do not listen to us. By any means, you do not need alcohol. It is going to be wonderful.
Exactly. So anyway, a little bit, but a lot of fun. So have fun with it. That's the most important part. You can do a lot with your beverages and your food.
Absolutely.
All right, Mayor.
Great ideas. Great ideas. Again, I heard my name a little bit too much in the negative, but thank you for including me. Once again, it's the team from Rainbow Wedding Network regaling you here with tips for planning your LGBT weddings. We will be back shortly to talk about summer apparel ideas. But first, we want to take a short break and thank one of today's sponsors. One of the sponsors of today's podcast is the Hilton Cocoa Beach Oceanfront, a family-friendly beachfront hotel close to Disney World and SeaWorld. Celebrate your love with sand underfoot or inside with windows overlooking the Grand Ocean. Our 10,000-square-foot deck has space for 150 to 200 guests, while the Grand Ballroom accommodates 360 to 600. Smaller parties like to use our Horizon Oceanfront room. Sensitive to the needs of all couples, whether you belong to an ethnic, religious, or to the LGBTQ community, our wedding team is committed to you. We are honored to be a part of this beautiful time in your lives and will work hard to create a sweet memory for you. Guest accommodations also available. All 295 guest rooms feature the renowned Hilton Serenity bedding, and our spacious suites are perfect for extended stays and intimate gatherings. Local attractions include the Kennedy Space Center, Cocoa Beach Pier, and of course Disney World. On-site surfing lessons, boogie boards, bike, and beach rentals. Proud sponsor of Rainbow Wedding Network's Same Love, Same Rights LGBT Wedding Expo on October 23rd, 2016. Come visit us at the Hilton Cocoa Beach Oceanfront. All right, and now we are going to talk a little bit about things to keep in mind as you are planning your apparel for your summer wedding. There's lots of different options, lots of ideas to help you out with regard to staying cool and looking fabulous. Lauren, do you want to start us off with some ideas?
Sure. So I really looked more into, you know, the type of fabrics to wear because I know it's really important depending on the season. You know, you don't want to wear wool in the summer. That would, you know, you'd be a sweaty mess.
Right.
You know, during the summer, you really want to, you know, for suits, for men's and women's suits, you really want to make sure that you look for a half-lined or an unlined suit, because that extra fabric will just be another layer that you're going to have to wear with everything else. So it really allows you to breathe. And, you know, you want to make sure that you have a looser weave mm-hmm. in the fabric.
Good
so
idea.
It'll allow more. Yeah, it'll allow more airflow and everything, and it'll help minimize the heat. And then, you know, one thing that Marianne and I were talking about is socks.
There's my name again. But in
they're
a good
so
way.
Popular.
Yeah.
yeah, and socks, you know, you don't want to wear thick, you know, what socks do you like? The smart wool socks.
I love the smart wool socks. Cindy those does. Are my favorite. Yeah.
And you and can get those at the sports store or the outdoor mm-hmm. adventure mm-hmm. store. They pull the moisture away from your body. They really do help keep you cool.
I was a skeptic, yeah. but now I'm hooked.
Yes. And that, you know, it's funny to think, I got to plan socks for my wedding. But if you're truly going to be standing for hours and hours on a hot afternoon and then into the night, it really does
sweaty
help
feet.
Keep you cool, you know, to know that your feet are cool. So that it really actually is quite good advice.
That's right. It's hard to get out there dancing when you're
slogging around in wet shoes.
Exactly. That's not just socks. That's shoes as well. You want to be comfortable all around. Mm-hmm.
It's true. And some people haven't, you know, when you get married, it's a wonderful day. It's also got certain stresses that you don't think about in advance. And if you have, you know, if you don't routinely do these kinds of things, you may not realize just how much your body's maybe going to be tenser than usual. The heat may affect you more than usual. You're wearing more binding or tightly fitting clothes than usual. So little things like breathable socks actually can make a difference.
That's
so
right.
It's a good idea to think about.
And, you know, for dresses, you know, again, you want to use lighter material in the summer, especially if it's an outdoor wedding. Maybe use satins or silks and even some tulle. So it's kind of flowy and can kind of let you breathe a little. And I know lace is really popular, but, you know, you kind of have to be careful because sometimes the lace dresses can be heavier than a silk dress.
Right.
Yep.
Good advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I was looking more at the looks of apparel and that I wanted to touch on today. For instance, you know, obviously a strapless gown, it can be less heavy and offer more flow than some of the ones with the straps and all kinds of other stuff going on. It's also good to remember that it's perfectly acceptable. Some lesbian brides haven't thought about this or maybe haven't attended as many weddings, but it is perfectly acceptable to change out of your more formal attire after the ceremony to wear something less restrictive at your reception. Mm-hmm. And that can be a really good option, especially in the summer months, so that you can go from maybe a floor-length gown into a shorter skirt or sundress that's festive and much lighter for dancing or for your other reception festivities. So
put those flip-flop on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that actually, in my opinion, applies to the guys too.
Yeah.
I don't know that many men think about it, but I do think it's an option for guys. If you want to be super formal during the ceremony itself, but you want to consider changing before the reception into something more comfortable, do it. Mm-hmm. That way you can enjoy the reception more fully. Why not? It's your day.
Yeah, you don't want to remember how uncomfortable you were during that first dance. You want to remember being, you want to remember the occasion.
Absolutely. And why not? Many lesbian brides, of course, opt for a tux or a suit. And besides keeping the fabrics in mind, there are also other ideas with regard to the look. For instance, instead of considering the full three-piece suit, you know, the slacks and the jacket and then the vest, you can just go with the slacks and the vest with no blouse underneath. And sometimes, you know, at the ceremony, you might go ahead and wear the jacket, especially if you got a custom suit with the fitted and it just looks really, really sexy. But then for the reception, you pull off that jacket. So you're just wearing the slacks and the vest with no blouse underneath. So you've got nice airflow.
Well,
it's just so easy breezy. But you look amazing, right? Very cool, very trendy. So that's a great look for a lot of lesbian brides out there. If you have longer hair, you really might want to consider wearing it up or wearing it back if you're having the summer wedding. As some of the lesbian brides we meet at our wedding expos aren't as strongly into makeup and thinking about, you know, updos for their wedding. But I always encourage them, especially when you're talking about seasonal things, to go ahead and think about the options before you rule it out.
Yeah.
So if you do have the longer hair and you're open to wearing it up, it might really help keep you cooler, especially if you're having an outdoor reception.
Mm-hmm.
Good to think about along with those socks.
Yeah.
Ways to keep cool. One of our favorite apparel designers for women's wear is Dangerous Mathematicians.
Yeah.
We have worked with Karen for many years, mm-hmm. and she does amazing custom work for women, even beyond where she is physically located, which is Brooklyn, mm-hmm. New York. But you can send in your measurements, talk to her by phone. She is so open to working with a variety of fabrics and looks.
Creative.
So if you
creative.
Are not, you know, if you're looking for a particular gown style and can't find it out and about, or you really want pantsuit or suit or anything, she is so open to being creative with you.
Mm-hmm.
So check her out online at dangerousmathematicians.com. For the men, I wanted to touch on some ideas as well. Again, encourage those guys to consider change of your formal wear. If you want to go from what you're wearing at the ceremony to something else for the reception, perfectly acceptable. And just gives you another opportunity to show off your fabulousness in another outfit, you know.
Exactly.
Never a bad thing.
This is when we throw in Marianne's name.
And do the wardrobe
I am behaving.
No, fabulousness.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I would throw in a positive
one. Thank you.
It came to my mind immediately.
And, of course, you know, you can also keep in mind just going simple. I know this sounds silly, but I just wanted to mention the simple, too. If you are wearing the full suit, unbuttoning that top collar as you head to the reception,
mm-hmm.
taking off the tie, you know, taking off the cummerbund if you've worn one for your ceremony. That way you can loosen up for the evening.
Yeah.
Some guys, of course, take off the jacket and keep the vest on, unbutton the top.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
sure.
even pull the shirt out of being tucked to untucked. That's a great look for a lot of men. And certainly
mm-hmm.
works well. And you can be that casual at your summer wedding, especially if it is an outdoor reception.
Of course, all of this happens after the photographs are taken.
Oh, yeah.
Just throw that out there.
Yeah. Many guys also just wear the slacks and the shirt with rolled up sleeves and a vest with a tie for their ceremony. So if you can imagine that look, it's casual, but
mm-hmm.
I think it really is trendy and perfectly formal enough for a summer wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of guys who will add the suspenders.
Yes.
Have that look, but with suspenders on.
Mm-hmm. Suspenders are awesome. And a lot of times you'll see the wedding where the groom maybe is not wearing the suspenders, but all the attendants who are dressed with this look, whether they're men or women, are wearing suspenders. And maybe if you have a ring bearer or something like that, they have the little suspenders going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome look too. Can be so dapper and a little different. Oh, we have a plane flying overhead now.
If our listeners knew where we lived and that there's a flying machine, as we like to call them, because they're so incredibly rare to fly over our area, it would floor you to know that we just had one buzz the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Many of today's grooms, too, are definitely going with khakis for their ceremony and reception and, you know, the
yeah.
casual but stylish shirt, again, often untucked. That's an ideal look for your beach wedding or your farm wedding. Rolled up khakis with your toes in the surf at the beach are amazing for engagement photos too. So definitely
mm-hmm.
keep that look in mind for the pre-wedding festivities as well as an option for your wedding. It's simple, but it really works well. And of course, we mentioned suspenders. Suspenders, I just wanted to say, look great with a standard tie or a bow tie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
You can pull
yeah.
that off.
And what's fun about those, too, is, like, you can really jazz up some crazy colors,
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, perfect, and it looks good.
Well,
you know
can,
I mean?
You
like,
can. You can either go everybody the same suspenders,
well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but
or everybody
like a,
different ones.
Right, and you could really pull out some really funky colors
yeah.
that you would think, really? Like, I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
wear this in
bright
public.
Pink.
Right,
yeah.
but it looks awesome in a wedding. And it looks awesome in, you know, photographs for a wedding. So
it's like quirky, stylish.
Yeah. I've seen, like, great photos where the men do have suspenders and their socks, as we're talking about socks. Get the smart socks. But they match the suspender, you know, and the bow tie. There, it's all together.
One
and some women, too.
Yes.
Some of the lesbian brides or some of your attendants who are women might want to wear the
yes.
suspenders. That's fine,
yeah.
too. I've seen
yeah.
Little boys, like ring bearers. This could apply to girls, too, if they're wanting to wear the suspenders. Where they're in khakis, but
mm-hmm.
their khakis are shorts because it's a summer wedding and you're trying to keep the boys cool so they're happier. they got the bow tie and the little suspenders, and it's adorable.
Yeah.
You know, way cute. Great looks. Also important at your summer wedding to think about, Lauren, you mentioned fabrics, but also the cooler colors. You know, that helps too. So if you're in a full suit, obviously in the summertime, it's wise to consider a tan or honey beige color and a white shirt and white satin tie, you know, as opposed to the darker slate suit or dark black tuxedo. You know, a nice beige suit with the white shirt and tie to me is very dapper. So it's a great look. Or, you know, a white shirt and white coat with the jacket trimmed out to match your slacks. And then, for instance, jet black slacks is another idea that looks really sleek. And again, just that bit of white on your shoulders as opposed to the darker color jacket will help keep you cooler during your ceremony. So definitely talk to your designer about fabric options, color options, and, you know, take a look online for different ideas as you're coming up with that look for your special day. There's a lot more options out there than there used to be, that's for sure. What I just wanted to mention in closing, too, I'll let you talk here in just a second, too, Lauren, but one of our favorite designers for the guys is Savvy Formal Wear by Sarno & Son online at savvybysarno.com backslash gaywedding .htm. They have advertised with us on Rainbow Wedding Network for a long time.
Yeah.
Particularly their stores up in the Northeast, very gay friendly and very forward thinking with their ideas.
You know what I think is fun is weddings have definitely started to get out of the box. You know, with what you wear and what you eat and what you drink and just everything about that is starting to expand. We don't do the what your parents did and what
the
their
chicken,
parents
the fish,
did. Right. But even with what you wear, right?
I mean,
you know,
nice not to have the pent up white wedding where you feel like you're in uncomfortable clothes. You're a little more open, a little more free nowadays. I like that.
Yeah.
Relaxed. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I was just going to say,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing that I thought about, while we were talking about ties and everything, it'd probably be wise to remember a tie clip, you know, to kind of hold it down. Because if you're on the beach or something and you're looking into your partner's eyes about to say I do and your tie flies up and hits you in the face.
Right.
So
those little things that make the difference.
That's
true. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And once again, you can get crazy with your tie clips too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So you can have just a lot of fun with stuff now. And it's becoming okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think gay and lesbian weddings have set some trends with regard to expanding and being personalized, because for so long we had to always make all those choices about what we wanted to include or disclude based on who we are. And, you know, we weren't permitted to go with tradition. So we've made the ceremonies that much more authentic. And I think that's one of the reasons those ideas are catching on, is, you know, and traditionally, stereotypically, gay folks like to throw great parties, and you know, that's what it's about, is having fun and having a wonderful day. So, you know, it's easy to think about getting outside of the box when you want to throw a good party.
Excellent. Those are awesome tips.
All right. Well, our last segment for today is going to be some reflections on Pride season.
We doing our wedding destinations first?
Oh, you know what?
I
forgot about
that
one. I did forget about that one. So we're going to talk about 2016 wedding destinations and then head into our segment about Pride. But first, we want to talk about our sponsor for today's event as well. One of the sponsors of today's podcast is the Hilton Cocoa Beach Oceanfront, a family-friendly beachfront hotel close to Disney World and SeaWorld. Celebrate your love with sand underfoot or inside with windows overlooking the Grand Ocean. Our 10,000-square-foot deck has space for 150 to 200 guests, while the Grand Ballroom accommodates 360 to 600. Smaller parties like to use our Horizon Oceanfront room. Sensitive to the needs of all couples, whether you belong to an ethnic, religious, or to the LGBTQ community, our wedding team is committed to you. We are honored to be a part of this beautiful time in your lives and will work hard to create a sweet memory for you. Guest accommodations also available. All 295 guest rooms feature the renowned Hilton Serenity bedding, and our spacious suites are perfect for extended stays and intimate gatherings. Local attractions include the Kennedy Space Center, Cocoa Beach Pier, and, of course, Disney World. On-site surfing lessons, boogie boards, bike, and beach rentals. Proud sponsor of Rainbow Wedding Network Same Love, Same Rights LGBT Wedding Expo on October 23rd, 2016. Come visit us at the Hilton Cocoa Beach Oceanfront. And we are back to talk about 2016 wedding destination ideas.
Yeah.
I'm going to start us off by talking about some hot spots in New England. Many couples think of New England as a wedding destination more in the autumn months when the leaves are so breathtaking, which is true. Yeah. That, of course, is a great time to head to the Northeast, but summer is a really beautiful time, too. And, of course, winter is picturesque and offers its own beauty as well. But New England is definitely a place to keep in mind for your summer wedding. So I was going to talk a little bit about that today. There's Provincetown, Massachusetts, which we obviously have to mention because P-Town has historically been such a gay mecca. This LGBT beach town is found at the itty-bitty tip of Cape Cod and has attracted LGBT vacationers and wedding couples for decades, actually. The U.S. Census reported in 2011 that Provincetown was the gayest city in America, as calculated on a per capita basis. And when Massachusetts enacted marriage equality in 2004, couples, of course, flocked to this little haven to say, I do. We used to hear that a lot, and P-Town really advertised a lot to the community to help people know, yes, come to Massachusetts, get married, yay.
It is a pretty place.
Yeah. 3 miles from end to end, P-Town is a historic whaling village, now filled with architecturally preserved homes. It's got a working fishing fleet. Of course, lots and lots and lots and lots of restaurants, nightlife, historic buildings. And, of course, the seaside. So there's lots of different options with regard to backdrops for your wedding. There are B&Bs and an array of other venue choices that can host your wedding from start to finish with, you know, different wedding packages. Or, of course, you can marry in the park or with your toes in the sand at the beach. And then, you know, find a spot for your reception. So there's all kinds of different options there. We invite you to visit our friends at the P-Town Business Guild online at ptown.org for all the info you need to get started. I also wanted to mention this week I received an email from our friends at the Provincetown Business Guild about vacationing in P-Town, and they were really hyping up just how family friendly the area has become. They really want to attract families with kids. Nice. As, of course, there are more and more LGBT parents with young kids. So they just wanted to spread the word that there's lots going on there for children as well. So
and sometimes they have certain weeks.
Yeah.
Like they have the lesbian week, and they have the gay man week, and they have the family week, and they have the... So sometimes they do that as well. So they have a great calendar there. You know, if you wanted to go during the family week, there's lots and lots of LGBT families there.
It is good to check out the calendar if you're planning your wedding, so you know sort of what's going on and you get a heads up. Another great city in the Northeast is Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes,
we've, of course,
spots.
Gotten to know it over the past 4 years, producing our LGBT Wedding Expo there every early August, end of July. This year it'll be July 31st up in Providence.
Come out and see me, Cindy,
In
July 31st on Sunday for the...
At the Marriott downtown Providence.
Yes, good but friends of ours.
Providence has always been a welcoming place because... It was founded in 1636 by Roger Williams, who was a big believer in tolerance and liberty. And Providence claim, you know, one of its claims to fame is that it likes to tout itself as a very welcoming place. Big college town, a lot of eclectic arts going on, and critically acclaimed restaurants, and a really kind of youthful energy, I think you could say. There in the city.
And if you catch the, what was that, river?
Water fire.
Oh,
yeah, it's really beautiful
nice.
There.
Yes.
There's, you know, there's this water right downtown. Of course, it's a coastal city. So there's some things there you might not realize. So definitely check out Providence. It was also, just so you know, voted one of the top 5 cities for gay travel in 2015 by Travel and Leisure.
Look at that.
And it's a neat city for considering your wedding because it's got elements of the urban as well as sort of the beachside town and the artistic. So it's kind of a fun mix where you can find a lot of different backdrops for your wedding.
Yep.
No matter what it is that you're looking for. Another great city in the Northeast is Burlington, Vermont.
Oh,
one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Burlington, it sits right on Lake Champlain, which is a huge lake. So you've got that as a backdrop. And then again, Burlington is a city with very liberal historically. Of course, it's in Vermont, so obviously very liberal. But it's got the elements of the rural, so you can have the farm look to your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the really artistic look to the city, so you can have that, you know, sort of backdrop for your wedding. You can have a little bit of an urban feel, too, if you want that. And then you've got this lakefront going on. Lots of choices in the Burlington area. Historic museums, the pasture lands for the farm weddings, nature preserves. So plentiful there in Vermont. So
beautiful lighting.
Options. And though I was going to mention that.
It's the most
lighting
beautiful
in
lighting.
Vermont is amazing. And I,
the
you know,
best photographs you can ever take.
Yeah.
It really is. Their light there is just gorgeous.
It's something about that latitude or something.
Yeah, something.
And the angle of the sun and the wide open sky.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. So your photographs will be breathtaking.
Yep.
And of course, you can have a winter wedding in Burlington mm-hmm. as well. Amazing.
If you like cold.
but summer weddings are actually something to consider.
Yep.
And a great spot if you're going to have a destination wedding for your guests.
Yes.
To stay on and vacation there on the lake. Burlington, you know, if you look at the different cities and you're thinking about your budget, Burlington probably has a little more cost-friendly options.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun place to continue on for those vacation times for your honeymoon and for your guests that's, you know, a little more budget-friendly. Other top spots, coastal Maine, Boston, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Hartford, or Mystic, Connecticut. So, you know, there's endless opportunities in New England to really have an amazing destination wedding.
You know, what's great about New England summer weddings in particular is if you're not a fan of the heat,
yeah.
which for some reason, the older I get, I'm not as much a fan of the heat anymore.
People do say that.
When we go to New England, we summer in New England, as we like to say around here. It's amazing. One of the places that we've stayed at it's a winery, and they had the old cottages. Remember, it was by Ethan Allen.
In Vermont.
In Vermont. And they on their website, they joked that they don't have air conditioning because you don't need it, but they do have a little wood-burning stove because you might need that even in the summer.
It's true, but
there are
a couple of months traditionally in August,
because
my mother, you know, grew up in Vermont. That are very muggy and
yes.
high mosquito season in certain parts of Vermont because it can be kind of wet.
Right.
There's some swampy type areas, not up by Burlington, but in some parts of Vermont. So do look at the calendars. Do talk to your event coordinators. Make sure you're picking exactly the right date.
But every time we've gone,
it's got that cool factor.
Yep. Every time we've gone to Vermont in the summer, I always am grateful that I brought a light jacket.
Or a sweatshirt.
Or something like that. And it's that wonderful kind of crisp, mm-hmm. cool air that's just perfect.
It is.
So
I love Vermont.
New England in the summer is fabulous.
Thank you. Great endorsement.
Exactly.
All right. Who's going next?
I think it's Lauren. Are you up next, Lauren?
Yeah.
Wedding destinations to consider. This is exciting.
I know.
Yes. My destinations. So... I'll be talking about Charleston.
Oh, Charleston. Southern.
Yes, as well as Washington State. So I have two places on the complete opposite ends of the U.S. Charleston, you know, I've actually had a couple friends get married in Charleston this summer.
Wow.
And yes, and you know, it's a historic city.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so, oh my gosh, for pictures, you know, it's just, you can get pictures in the city with the historic buildings. You can get, they have the really large trees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
moss.
Quite sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So you can just get really gorgeous backdrop. And, you know, there's also the ocean right there because it's on the coast. So you can have your ceremony at the beach. And then, you know, I also want to talk about the Holiday Inn in Mount Pleasant because we're having our show there in August. So, you know, if you get married outside, you can go to Holiday Inn. They have a really nice reception ballroom. So you can have your reception there and kind of get out of the muggy beach summery weather, you know, so have a nice little getaway and party inside.
Absolutely.
And that expo will be Sunday, August the 28th, there at the Holiday Inn.
Mount Pleasant.
Yeah. So make sure you come out and see us. You would meet Mary Ann and I both at that show.
It's our first annual there in the Charleston area.
That's
so
right.
Excited. Yep. Actually, our 31st state.
Yes.
That we will be visiting with our tour of LGBT wedding expos. We have not yet been to South Carolina, so very exciting.
Come out and see us.
Yeah, and all of our vendors are really excited for the show, too. We have some good ones.
Yes.
Who are happy to be a part of it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't sure if you could hear me.
Yep, we're on.
Yeah, so also I wanted to talk about Washington State.
One of our favorites.
Yes, so it's a little cooler there. So, you know, it's sort of like you're talking about in the New England weather, how it can be cooler in the summer, and Washington can be cooler as well. So some places that you can get married at and also have your reception at in Washington, there's Hostess House in Vancouver, and they're actually on the Rainbow Wedding Network website, so you can go to our website and check them out there. They have a beautiful, they have like a little chapel, and they have this beautiful glass wall that you can get married in front of, and, you know, on the other side, there's just greenery, just, you know, gorgeous trees, and it's just a great backdrop for your ceremony. And they also have a little reception space as well, so you can have your ceremony and reception right there.
Nice.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
There's also Redmond Ridge. It's in Redmond, Washington. So, you know, again, it's surrounded by greenery. It's a nice little, it kind of has a rustic feel. They're on the Rainbow Wedding Network website as well. And one place that's really unique was the Treehouse Point.
Love that place.
Yeah, we love that place.
We
love
it. It's 2 hours north of Seattle, and it's really neat. It's tree houses, you know. So, again, you're surrounded by greenery, but it's different because you're in the tops of the trees rather than standing at the bottom of the trees.
Yeah, right.
And you can look down and have the scenery of the river that runs through the property, and you know, so, and it's unique to bring your guests to a treehouse.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think of there being a rainforest in Washington, but, you know, it's true. There's a lot of green in Washington State and a lot of those thick, woody areas. And then, of course, you also have the urban environments if you want to be downtown Seattle, and then you have the coast.
You got the beautiful mountains, Rainier.
Yes.
You know, all of the mountains.
It's hard to even imagine those mountains unless you see them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, in Washington, you have a lot of options because you can get married in the mountains. You can get married on the coast. You can get married. You can mix it and have both. Mm-hmm. The view of the mountains while you're on the coast.
It is true. And, you know, one interesting, and I'm just throwing this off the top of my head, but every time we go to Seattle to produce one of our expos, and we've been there for year after year after year. Isn't it the tulips that grow east of Seattle? And aren't they? I mean, I think they grow like the most tulips in the world or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like
just
next
amazing.
To the Netherlands.
Yes, it's amazing.
Wow.
And I've always wished that we had scheduled the expo like 2 weeks earlier because that's
it's 2 weeks
they,
earlier or later. It's
yeah.
either May or early June or something.
Right.
I think
and
it's
you can
May.
Go and they have the big tulip festivals,
yes.
but it's just field after field after field of the most breathtaking tulips. And that's just north. I think it's north and east of like downtown Seattle, but I could be getting that totally wrong. Maybe one of our viewers or listeners will correct me, but I've just seen the photographs and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So if you were to happen to time it right.
Yes.
But every time you go into the Seattle market, the flowers there are just...
Vibrant.
So vibrant. Mm-hmm. An amazing amount of flowers that you can buy in the Seattle market there downtown.
There are definitely things, whether they're food or or beautiful flowers, things that grow so well in Washington because of the particular environment. So yeah, but those flowers at the market are just so much more colorful than many other areas because of the weather that they have.
So lots of options.
Yeah, lots of options to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like the perfect place for a fairy tale wedding.
Yeah.
Tree houses and beautiful flowers. Everything's growing.
And the high mountains in the background.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Or you can get on a ferry and go visit one of the islands.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And,
why not?
Yeah. So there's lots to do up there. Love it.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, speaking of some cooler destinations, imagine, if you will, a beautiful hilltop with long blades of green grass flowing in the wind.
The hills are
there. We're starting the Sound of Music. Well, actually, it's in the Scottish Highlands is where I was thinking. Oh, so nice. There may or may not be sheep in those fields somewhere. But
okay.
you have a lot of greenery, a lot of beauty there as well. And it's also cooler, a cooler destination. If you imagine the hills with a walk or a lake in the foreground, you can kind of get the picture of the Highlands there. Ooh. So I thought that would be a great place also with, you know, some of the traditional Scottish, if it's something that's culturally important for you and you're thinking a destination wedding, that would be a great, great setting with bagpipe.
In the
background. Some other destinations that I ran across in one area I hadn't actually considered before when we're thinking of some international destinations for your wedding was actually Buenos Aires, which is a very gay-friendly city. It's perfect with lots of little cafes and guest houses and shops and lots of different activities if you're bringing some guests in. Mm-hmm. So that's another great destination for your international wedding. Also, if you're thinking a little bit more along the lines of something tropical, something warm for summer, of course, we can all think and go to Tahiti.
We can.
Coconut groves and blue lagoons and white sand. We can all think about traveling there soon.
The food and beverages we just talked about.
They just came right back.
We're just going to bring those.
We circled
Tahiti.
That right around. Yeah.
Who can we get to get married?
Yeah, exactly.
Take us all away to Tahiti.
You guys can always do a recommittal of vows just to go to Tahiti. You've done the Malibu wedding.
Right,
so
right.
So now you can go to Tahiti.
You on?
Yeah, Pinky we just promise. Need a budget. Somebody needs to come up with that.
We can make it work. Another great destination would actually be Queenstown. Mm-hmm. So you can always go there. And similar to the Highlands, it is a little cooler. You have snow-capped peaks, you've got the lake right there, so it's a great destination. But it's also a great destination if maybe you're a little into a little more extreme sports, being that water skiing or paragliding, different things like that that you have available there as well. And my personal favorite one that I wanted to mention, and this could just be a general thought, is any little Japanese village. There's so many cute, quaint little, if you even go to Google and look and find little quaint little villages in the Japanese countryside, if you're looking for something more of a country wedding and think maybe a little towards spring over summer. I know we're talking summer destinations, and then you bring those cherry blossoms into the picture. It is absolutely beautiful.
I bet.
And great for pictures as well.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I also just came to mind listening to you, Ira, because you're talking about, you know, abroad destinations. Is now with the recent Brexit going on. There's probably some good airfares going on. I don't know how far into the future they'll extend. And obviously you plan destination weddings a couple years out.
Right.
But that is something to think about now is to watch those things. If it's ever, if it's on, your dream wedding list, I could maybe get married in London or so, now might actually be the time to look at some ticket prices or to keep a watch over the next couple of weeks.
That's
those
a great
things
hack.
Actually might become doable.
Yeah, the pound is going down, which means we get a better vacation.
Right.
Think about all of us silly little Americans going, yay!
Yeah, I know. It's awful. It's something to think about if we're sharing wedding tips.
Well, they were just there was a story about how the airfare, there was somebody quoted like an airfare of like under $800, round trip, which is almost.
And there's some other countries considering it. So, France opts out of the EU or Italy.
Yeah.
Hey, those destination wedding options just expanded.
Exactly.
Those are some great destinations. Some, and I've of course picked some that aren't quite as on the radar, mm-hmm. say France, but that's another great destination.
Of course.
Pictures next to the Eiffel Tower. You want mm-hmm. some of that history, that culture, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't include all the great spots, but the ones you chose really were food for thought.
I'm thinking that coconut lime drink.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about
served
Japan.
Served out of a coconut, you know?
Yeah, you don't. Japan does not come immediately to my mind as a wedding destination, so I'm glad you brought it up because it's fun to consider. It's
very quaint, very rich cultural heritage there, so absolutely.
Well, I was bringing it right back home here to Asheville.
Go for it.
Yeah, my take was Asheville here because it's near and dear to our hearts, of course, because we live and work here, right?
Correct.
But, you know, Asheville has a lot to offer. I mean, you can have... a very posh wedding at the Biltmore Estates.
Well, of course.
Of course. And they have a winery there as well. And I know that that whole Biltmore area is just growing and growing as far as the number of hotels that they're bringing in and all of that. So there's lots to offer there if you want that Downton Abbey kind of feel.
True.
To your wedding. Or, of course, we have the historic Grove Park Inn as mm-hmm. well, which is just beautiful, stunning, beautiful. And it has beautiful views up there, as we know.
Well, we sit in the cradle of the mountains, which I think is important to tell some of our listeners who may not be aware of where Asheville sits.
Yes.
In the northwest mm-hmm. edge of North Carolina.
Yes, we're
up in the cradle of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Yeah, we got the lovely Blue Ridge Mountains right here, which, of course, you can find some smaller, you know, if you're doing a small wedding and you want something in the mountains, we have lots of B&Bs and inns and things like that as well that you can rent for your wedding here, right, in these beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. And if you go high enough in the summertime, talk about heat, it's cooler.
Very much so.
If you get high up in the mountains, we're definitely cooler than when you get down lower to the Asheville area. What's also fun about Asheville is you can get married here and also have your honeymoon here.
Absolutely.
Right? Especially if you're an outdoors type, mm-hmm. you can hike there. We have the AP trail right going through here, mm-hmm. so there's all kinds of hiking opportunities here. There's all kinds of water rafting around here. We have zip lining going crazy. Mm-hmm. We have one that's, you know, what, 10 minutes from us, one of the most popular zip lining here in the western mountains of North Carolina, which Marianne, we're going to bring you up again, has been on that zip line.
Oh, yeah.
She loved it.
I can tell She's you, it was very good.
It was very well done.
It was.
We have a really fun and hip downtown. The locals here, we would wish it wasn't growing as fast as it is. And but our downtown area is very hip and trendy and has a lot of now more overpriced hotels than we ever would. Oh, I didn't say overpriced, did I?
Uh-oh.
Well,
but it's not that big of a downtown.
No,
so
it's smaller.
Still, I don't know what you would say. It's kind of nostalgic and very
quaint, and there's history here. There's a lot of history
there's
here.
There's a lot of history here.
Architectural value to downtown, too. If you look at some of the courthouse, the city mm-hmm. hall, the... I think it's actually called the Flatiron, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a Flatiron.
Just like New York.
Yep, we have the New York Flatiron
Grove Arcade.
Building. Yes.
So there are a lot of beautiful structures in downtown. So
and the Grove Arcade, if I'm remembering my history right, was the same architect that created the Seattle market there, Pike's Market.
Mm-hmm.
So same architect, correct?
Correct.
There's tons of history here in Asheville. Asheville, of course, was a destination way back. You know, people came for the clean air.
And the hot springs.
And the hot springs. Mm-hmm. And, up where kind of Ira lives, even mm-hmm. further up than where we're at in Hot Springs, which has a natural hot springs there.
And before that, a lot of... immigrants came from Scotland,
mm-hmm.
so we mentioned Scotland earlier as a destination, because it looks a lot like the hills of Scotland and Ireland, so we do have a lot of,
we're very green.
Original immigrants from that area, and that the rolling hills and everything.
Yes, and, but you can also stay, what's nice is, you know, we the locals around here, we love to complain recently, because we're getting a lot of hotels that are built downtown. Which are very highly priced hotels, unfortunately, for our area. but there's a lot of remote, you know, areas that you can stay in, cabins and things like that. And you can drive downtown pretty easy. We don't have a lot of traffic, You know, we don't have a lot of traffic.
It's still a small town.
Too. Yeah, so there's you can get downtown very quick and easy. Also, we have craft beers. We're like become the craft beer mecca. Capital, yes. I think, around here. So if that is, you know, if you're into a lot of craft beers, there's tons of stops downtown. Lots of
take a beer tour, yeah. Beer comedy tour. There's lots of things downtown.
Exactly, and of course. We're very LGBT friendly. We joke that we are the blue dot in a red state. So Asheville is very LGBT friendly.
One thing along those lines too, I might mention, we did mention Biltmore, and it is a beautiful wedding destination, especially the gardens in spring and summer. You may want to check when you're calling to book and have a conversation, because Biltmore has not always traditionally been as gay friendly as some other destinations in our city, unfortunately. But I think since some of the corporate influence has come in, that's started to change. With the new hotels that are being built, the new staff that's coming in. So you do want to check that before you go in assuming, because we wouldn't want to lead anyone into a situation that's uncomfortable there.
Exactly. Yep. Definitely check all that out. And, you know, if you come to town, call us.
Right? It's a very pet-friendly town, too.
Yes.
Absolutely. So if you're planning a destination wedding and your pets are super important or part of the wedding, you can very likely find a bed and breakfast or something, or even a hotel that will allow your pet to stay right with you. So that's always fun to know.
Exactly. So, you know, check us out here in Western North Carolina.
Yeah.
If you come to town, give us a call.
Yeah.
Right? We might show up at your wedding, especially if you're having something good.
If you're having those bourbon drinks. Yeah, we'll be there. Yeah.
Marianne will be there.
With her mason jar.
Yeah. Exactly. It is a Marianne day.
All right. All right, our last segment today is some reflections on Pride season.
Oh, we're going to go right into it, aren't we?
We are. All right. We're going to talk about Pride. We're recording this on July 1st,
yes.
2016, so we're just ending the traditional season of Pride here in the USA. So we thought it was appropriate that we mention Pride, talk about it. Of course, we just passed June 26th, which was the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision last year. That was made here in the U.S. with regards to providing national marriage equality. And that fell right into Pride season. So lots to celebrate this year.
And you do know, you know, how Pride started, right? We all kind of know that. But I thought we'd just talk a little bit about a little history. Of course, it was in the early morning of Saturday, June 28th, 1969, that the patrons of the Stonewall Inn rioted after a police raid. So if we think back, way back, we would have been 3 years old back then, right? I wouldn't have been quite three, but...
She would like to mention that.
Yeah, good to mention that. But in 1969, police raids on gay bars were a regular occurrence. I mean, it happened all the time. And this was some interesting facts. Think about this. It was 1969, but it was illegal to serve gay people alcohol.
Wow.
Who would have thought?
Did not know
we're not
that.
Talking prohibition here.
In that 1969, was not a smart economic choice.
That was not a smart economic choice. And did you know it was illegal for gays to dance with one another?
Well, of course.
But
yeah.
But as a gay man, you could dance with a straight man, but you couldn't dance with another gay man.
And you better not do it with a glass of alcohol in your hand.
Interesting.
It was illegal to serve gay people alcohol.
So keep it dry and put on the butch face.
Exactly. So during a typical raid, the lights were turned on, the customers were lined up, and their identification was checked. Now, back in 1969, if you did venture into a gay bar, which probably wasn't known, it was only underground that it was known as a gay bar, right?
Right.
Of course you weren't going to bring your ID with you, right? Because, you know, that would have been too scary. But if you did not, those without identification or dressed in full drag were arrested.
Sure.
Now, hold on to your socks here, ladies. This was another fascinating...
Why did you say ladies? Ira is sitting here.
No,
Ira was hiding over
this
here.
This goes for the women only.
Oh.
And then we're going to bat this around about how they would know this. Women were required to wear 3 pieces of feminine clothing.
Wow.
And would be arrested if found not wearing them.
Wow.
What?
So we had to wear our chastity belts.
Well, I was going to say
what was considered a bobby pin? Well, I mean, what is feminine?
Well, exactly. So I was just going to ask, like,
got to be vacuum sealed into the girdle, or was that?
I don't know.
Lace 3 pieces. Sock?
Not just like a bra and, you know, certain underwear, right? But then how are they going to, like, inspect that? Three pieces of feminine clothing.
Was the governor of North Carolina involved in any way?
Right. Yeah. Sounds familiar to the HB2 law,
yeah,
doesn't it?
This was like pre-HB2 law. Wow. Yeah, exactly. How crazy is that, right?
Three pieces. Now, if you were straight and wearing less than three, I wonder if that was okay.
I don't know.
Or if you were a
but
man
during
and
the
wearing
raids,
three.
If you were in a gay club,
right?
You know, of course, like I said, it wasn't, you know, there was no rainbow flags flying, right? So this was all underground. If you were a woman there and you were not wearing three pieces of feminine clothing, you were arrested.
Wow.
Crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, employees...
Hi, Mom. I was arrested because I didn't wear my girl panties.
I know. I did not wear them. I wore grandma panties that time, and they were not considered feminine enough.
There was a reason your mother did not want you to wear slacks. There was a reason for that floral print dress she was protecting.
I know. I'm like, well, it was the 60s. Were gloves? Like, if you wore long gloves, was that... it's crazy. So, of course, employees and management of the bar were also typically arrested.
Why not?
But on this Saturday, June 28th, 1969, 8 police officers arrived at the Stonewall Inn. There were approximately 200 people at the bar. I was like, you rock on, 200 people.
Yeah.
I mean, 200? That's fabulous, right? 200 people. So on this night, they decided that they were going to just arrest everybody. They weren't counting
panties.
or sniffing drinks to see if you were drinking alcohol or if you were dancing with the wrong person. Everybody was going out the door into the paddy wagons. That's it. We're taking you off.
What a waste of time.
8 to 200.
I know. Yeah. Well, this is where it gets interesting.
Might want to bring back up, guys.
Exactly. So this is where it gets interesting. So, and of course, they had to wait. So they're bringing everybody outside. They have to wait like 15 minutes for the paddy wagons to show up. And the crowds start gathering. Mm-hmm. And it gets a crowd of people outside. And riots start happening. Beer bottles are thrown. Bricks are being thrown. The 8 cops end up inside Stonewall Inn.
I hope that somebody said...
Don't drink.
Do you have 3 items on?
Right. We must inspect your 3 items of feminine clothing if you're going to be in this bar, and don't drink any alcohol while you're in here. Well, as we can imagine, the rioting began.
Well,
you know,
the
poor bar got
the
trashed,
LGBT community was fed up with it, as they often were.
Yes.
They were just getting tired of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then what happened, of course, they had to call in backup to get these poor 8 officers out of the gay bar. But then what really happened was over the next couple of nights, the rioting began, and it went on for several nights. And the largest crowd was about 1,100 protesters.
Wow.
And so it was that we're fighting back against this
nonsense.
Yeah,
we're tired of being discriminated against and harassed and for no good reason.
Exactly. And so... there were several organizations. There was one organization in Philadelphia that decided they were going to declare that in the next year, in 1970, they were going to have the first kind of gay pride event, and it was called the Christopher Street Liberation Day March, because
mm-hmm.
Stonewall Inn is around, you would know this better than I do, around Christopher Street.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what the first... anniversary was organized, and the news spread around the country that they had kind of declared, let's start a gay pride event called the Christopher Street Liberation Day March. A lot of other LGBT organizations across the country, larger cities, also marched on that day in 1970. It was the year anniversary, and that kind of started gay pride as today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking a little bit last week about in Atlanta, you know, actually their first one was 1970 as well. People marching down Peachtree Street.
Right.
I thought was funny in Atlanta, growing up in Atlanta, I was lucky enough to march in a lot of the gay pride marches there. And I was just looking over some fun facts about that. Like in 1973, marchers wore paper bags over their head to hide their identity.
Because
the news in Atlanta, I remember this. I remember as a kid on a Sunday watching the news, and it was like the first time that the gay people had marched, and it was a big deal. And I remember like my parents saying something, the whole thing, right? And so in 1973, people wore paper bags over their heads so they wouldn't get, you know, their face wouldn't be on the news that they were marched in a gay pride march. So we think that's only 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are today with gay pride being celebrated all across the world.
Right.
Millions and millions and millions of people celebrate Pride Month now all across the world. We also have the Dyke March, the Trans March, Black Gay Pride. All of that grew out of, you know, 1969 Stonewall. People deciding that they're not going to be, they had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had enough. So, you know, I remember, I think I told the story last week. I remember, I think, I was trying to remember back when that was. It had to be late 80s, early 90s. I remember, that the Atlanta Pride Committee was trying, they were hoping that 10,000 people were going to show up to Pride, and so, for the march in particular, and so they had us all march down Peachtree Street, and, you know, I can't remember the, Jupiter Street.
Juniper,
yep, and then they had us all funnel into the park in a certain way, then they physically counted every single person that came into the march that day, from the march into the park. Because they were trying to get 10,000 people to show up. And I know that they exceeded that. I don't remember the total, but I know that it was exceeded. And that was a really big deal when over 10,000 people showed up at in the Atlanta Pride March on that Sunday. And now we think, oh my gosh, you know, they say the march itself can have 200, 300,000 people.
Yeah, and well, millions come to Pride in New York City and D.C. and Philly and Atlanta. I mean, each
DC
city
has a big one. Yeah. You know, San Francisco, so, the whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it all started back.
Not that long ago.
And now Stonewall Inn, of course, just a few days ago,
yep. Our great president
declared it as a historic landmark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it the first LGBT historic landmark that's been put on the registry?
On the national registry.
On the national registry, yeah. Which is great, because that means that space will be preserved and be able to get the financing to preserve it and all of that, probably, right?
Oh, yeah. It's great, great degree of legitimization, obviously, when the history of a particular minority is considered valued. That puts you on the map, as it were, and gives you credibility, and other people start to, you know, it becomes more mainstream to think about your history as acceptable.
Exactly.
You know? And oh, it's real, you know. It's,
right.
It's part
and
of the national story now.
So. Yes. And through Pride and through Pride Month and all that, we've been able to not just go out and march and have a party and have a street festival and meet up with your friends in the park and, you know, and listen to great music. And you know, I remember being a photographer there and photographing Coretta Scott King. She was one of the first speakers to come out to support Gay Pride and came out to speak about equality and tolerance and all that. So, I mean, but it also was a time, I can remember during the AIDS crisis where it was a time to be able to say, we've had enough. We've had enough of this issue, or we're fighting for this now, and we're fighting for, you know, whatever, you know, issue is right there in front of us for the LGBT community, and we want this changed. And we were able to use the marches and Pride Month to bring attention to these issues. So, it still happens around the world. I mean, of course, there's, you know, there's plenty of places around the world that being LGBT is not accepted, but they go out there and they march and they have a pride festival, you know, and they might get arrested and they might get, you know, horrible things can happen, but they go out there and they do it. And, you know, we are lucky here in the U.S. that it's become kind of a fun thing and it's a celebration and all of that, but it can bring attention to important issues. I know Orlando happened right here during Pride Month.
Right.
And so there was a lot of Pride celebrations that incorporated violence against LGBT folks. And
still happens, and we still see the protesters. I mean, mm-hmm. there's still awful protests that go on with regard to Pride, and terrible signs that you see even here in the United States that say awful, horrible things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And still violence, of course, against our community in many ways. But Pride definitely in our country has grown to become a place that's usually a haven and usually a place where we can bring awareness to the issues that are important and you know, a place to celebrate.
Yes.
Still is an engine of change. We can keep those topics evolving, and especially with the violence in Orlando. It's a reminder that while we've come so far, we still have quite a ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of changing hearts, changing minds, and
but it's also been lightning speed.
Mm-hmm.
You it know, really has if we think 1969 to now, that's pretty lightning speed there.
Mm-hmm. And it is for those of us who are standing here. You know, yeah. if you're one of the people that's been violated or hurt or killed, obviously not so much. But you know, it depends on your perspective. But it is true when you think about enacting change and how it seems like it takes so long.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think, oh, well, the first state only enacted marriage equality in 2004.
Right.
You know, full marriage rights. Think how far we've come. Oh, the Stonewall riots were only 1969. That's less than 50 years. Think how far we've come.
Right.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's all thanks to those 200 brave people in that bar that night.
Right. Those feisty drag queens and the others who were willing to stand up and say, you know what, this is enough.
I'm done.
Not taking any more, girl.
Exactly. Yeah. So thanks to them.
Yeah.
We got what we have today.
Cheers. Let's raise a bourbon.
That was for Marianne.
Yeah.
By the way. We're going to get her bourbon after the podcast. She'll be
Somebody's going to call and invite me out for a date after this.
Hey. Go through me.
All right. Well, we are wrapping up our podcast here for July 1st, 2016. It's the team from RainbowWeddingNetwork.com. We thank you for listening. We certainly invite you to come out and meet us at one of our LGBT wedding expos. The entire event calendar is online at either RainbowWeddingNetwork.com or our sister site, SameLoveSameRights.com. And you can also, of course, find us on social media. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/RWNCom and on Twitter at GayWeddings.